There's an Old Testament story about the prophet Elijah. Elijah is an individual who not only served great miracles, but also in times of great trial and tribulation and struggle for the nation of Israel. And there is one particular occasion that sort of sticks out in my mind in which Elijah is complaining to God. He's complaining just in general. He's complaining about life. He's complaining about how hard everything is, what he's got to do, who he has to contend with, how many of the people are opposed to everything he's doing. And God's response is to take him somewhere quiet to sleep and to give him something to eat, which is proof that a snack and a nap will fix almost anything. I take that scripture passage to heart every so often when life seems like a little bit too much. Maybe it's just time for a snack and a nap. But, you know, rest in the scriptures is a very serious business. God makes it his point, actually, in the very creation of the world to take a day to rest. It's not because God was tired. It wasn't as though God got done with 6 days of creation and went, whew, I need a break. This creation thing's hard work. No, it was to give us an understanding of how we are to order our lives. So when God writes his law, what does he tell humanity to do? He tells humanity to take one out of all of the days of each week and rest. Now, humanity doesn't do a really great job with that rest bit. We make resting a lot of work. We can make it more complicated than it needs to be. We make it a matter of pride. We make it a matter of judgment. There is this one ridiculous story where Jesus' disciples are out for a stroll. They're not going anywhere. They're not, you know, needing to get from point A to point B. It was a nice day. They thought they'd go for a walk. And of course, that's a great thing to do when it's a nice day. Get outside, get some fresh air. So they're outside on the Sabbath. They're having a little Sabbath day walk. They're relaxing. They walk past some grain. And the grain is ripe. And so what do? They reach up and they pick off a little bit of the grain. And they take the grain and they rub the head of the grain in their hands until the seed separates from the chaff. And then they eat the seeds. Again, snacking. The disciples did it too. And what do people say? Those awful disciples of Jesus, they're working on the Sabbath. They're harvesting. No, they weren't harvesting. They were snacking. We took probably what ought to be the single simplest thing in the entirety of human existence, rest, and made it hard work. We made it complicated. We made it difficult. And so when Jesus comes along, he says, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the one who has declared a Sabbath for humanity. I am humanity's Sabbath incarnate. If I say it's okay, it's okay. He says the Sabbath is special. That humanity wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for humanity because we humans, we get it in our heads sometimes that the only right answer is to do a thing. To do a thing harder if it's not working. When I did my training as a mission redeveloper, that's a pastor who's trained to go into dying congregations and sort of bring them back up. He said, one of the things that you're going to have your hardest time when you are helping a congregation is understanding that they are succeeding at the things they are doing, but the things they are doing are not succeeding. That's a difficult mental jump to make. That a congregation will say to itself, but we're really good at this, we're really good at that, we work hard at this, we work hard at that, we've got the best this, the best that, and the best this other thing is. And that might be true. The things they're doing, they might be succeeding at, but when they succeed at the things they're doing, are they accomplishing what they want the things to accomplish? And in the case of dying congregations, oftentimes the things they're trying to accomplish aren't actually making the things they want to happen happen. You have to reevaluate what you are doing. And maybe say, the things that we've done very well don't make the things happen that we want to happen. Don't reach out to people with the gospel like we want them to reach out with the gospel. Don't convey God's grace the way we want God's grace to be conveyed. Don't lift up people the way we want them to be lifted up. Maybe it's time to reevaluate what we are doing. Today's gospel story. I joke that clearly Martha is the oldest sister and Mary is the baby of the family, because Martha is going about the task of hosting with great vigor. She has things that she has to do. She probably has to prepare a big meal, make sure the bedrooms are ready, the floors are swept, the curtains have been pressed, the dust has been removed, the everything that can be done is being done. And she is much about much, and she is certain that the thing that she has to do is a thing that you have to do. Mary, on the other hand, it's not occurred to her to do these things. Instead, Jesus is here, and Jesus is talking, and Jesus is teaching, and so she has decided that the important thing is to sit and listen, to rest, to be, to cease from doing, and to receive from Christ wisdom, understanding, grace, mercy, rest. Sometimes the answer to life is not to do more things. Sometimes the answer to life is not to do more things better. Sometimes the answer to life is to stop from doing things and to be. To be in God's presence, to listen to God's word, to be shaped and changed by our experience with the divine. I came across this this explanation a long time ago, and I wish I could remember who exactly to credit it to. It's a funny thing about my memory. I always feel like I'm a little bit, when it comes to theology and text, a little bit like the late, great Robin Williams. He was rather famous because if he walked into a comedy store or a comedy club, that the other comedians would just groan because they knew that he would be doing their material next week. Because the way his mind worked, he could never remember where he'd heard a thing, whether it came out of his own head or not. And so he would always find himself accidentally doing other comedians' material. And the thing that used to frustrate all the comedians was he always did it better than they did. And every so often someone would complain that he'd stolen one of their jokes, and he'd always just write them a check and say sorry. Because the way his brain worked was he was never quite sure where the thing came from. And I'll say, in many senses, my own brain has a tendency to work that way. I think to myself, where did I hear that? Did I think of that, or is that something I read in a book? I don't know. But sometimes we just absorb things by listening. One of the things I absorbed was this phrase. What is wrong with modern Christians is that we live the lives of rivers. What does it mean to live the life of a river? What's a river do? A river pours itself out as soon as it gets poured into. A river takes the waters that are gathered and moves it along as quickly as possible. If the weather is good and the rain is plentiful, the river is full. When the weather is dry and the weather is bad, and there is nothing to be poured into the river drains itself out until it's nothing but a flat, dry valley. Problem with Christians is we live the lives of a river. We are called upon by our God to live the lives of a reservoir. We are to be those who gather into ourselves God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, God's peace, to sit at the feet of Jesus Christ until we are so filled up that there is nowhere left, and then, and only then, do we pour that love out into the world. That is the life of a reservoir, to be filled with good that then is directed out into the world. Reservoirs don't run dry as a rule. Christians do, sometimes. We pour ourselves out too hard. We rely on our own strength. We rely on our own reserves. We rely on our own wisdom, our own capabilities. When Jesus speaks to Martha and says, "I will not take from Mary what she has chosen, because she has chosen the right thing," it almost sounds like a rebuke, like Jesus is disciplining Martha by saying, "And what's wrong with you that you didn't do the right thing?" But it's not. Is Jesus saying to Martha, "Mary made the right choice to sit at my feet and to be filled with what it is that I am giving. Won't you come and join her? Choose the right thing. Make the right decision." As Christians, we have to understand that our peace will never come from doing. Our doing will always come from our peace. That first we learn to rest in the Lord. First we learn to rely on God. First we learn to let God fill us with what it is that he has to offer in grace, love, and hope. And then, and only then, do we share that with the world. It is part of our human nature. And I know this is part of our human nature because I find myself doing this as a parent. That when you want your children to do a thing and to do a thing right, you show them how to do the thing, right? And you watch them do the thing, and then there's some part of you that says, "No, that's not the way you do it here, let me do it." And of course, that doesn't get them very far, does it? But as a parent, you got to hold back from that, you know? You got to hold back from that, "Here, just give it to me, I'll do it." You know, especially if you're in a hurry, or you're busy, or you're impatient, or you got a lot of stuff you need to do, there's that urge to just, well, as Christians, sometimes we have the same behavior with God. That we want to hand our problems, our worries, our concerns, our needs over to God and say, "Okay, I'm going to wait on you to give me the strength. I'm going to listen to you to give me the hope. I'm going to listen and respond when your Holy Spirit guides me into action." And then if God doesn't move right away, sometimes we're like, give that back. I'll do it myself. I've got an idea. But Jesus says to Martha and Mary together, "Sit at my feet. Rest in my presence. Be filled with my love, my wisdom, my grace. And then and only then are you to act." Mary made the right choice not to grasp it back from Jesus. "Nah, I'll go do my own thing. I know what I'm doing." Martha made the wrong choice, but of course we know that eventually she makes the right one. So I say to you all as we gather together on this Sunday morning, you probably lead a busy life. And I say that because I can't remember the last time I talked to someone who was not leading a busy life. I know I do. We all do. Take a moment. Rest. Take a moment. Let God fill you. Take a moment and be at peace because God has called us to be at peace in his presence. And then from that place of rest, peace, and recreation, act. And act only then. Amen.